This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
We have got a special guest on the show this week.
And a special day for our special guest.
It is. It's her birthday. We'll introduce her first. Mark, would you like to do the grand intro, please?
Yeah, sure. Jager is a British beer maker, brewer, birthday girl. You've got a lot of things going on today. So happy birthday to you. Welcome to Melbourne. You said it was 4 days since
I'm 4 days in. Four days in.
And you've come to Melbourne for...
I've come for Good Beer Week, which is a celebration of beer, amazing beer all around the country happening in Melbourne.
And you're not only just a beer fan, you're a beer maker.
I'm a beer maker, yeah.
So you're a goddess of beer, creating it out of four ingredients.
Yeah.
I've never seen such a glamorous beer maker.
Yeah,
no,
this is
true. I haven't really. I just expect, you know...
These wizened, gnarly...
A vile Aussie man with, you know, a big beer.
Log of a
revolting. Yeah, I wouldn't have it. But this beer maker is gorgeous.
Smelling of cigarettes.
Yes, doesn't smell like cigarettes.
And is tats-free.
Tats-free.
Yeah.
I mean, visibly tats-free. I can't speak for the rest of you, Jager.
No. Well,
we're early in the hour.
So welcome to Joy 94.9.
Welcome, Jager. What took you to the glamorous world of beer making? Was it the crafty bits of carpet on the bar?
You know what? It was just loads of drinking beer.
Right.
Yeah, loads of drinking beer as a student. And
so
I,
general fondness of the product.
Yeah, and I grew up in the Midlands in Nottingham, so really close to Burton-on-Trent, which in the UK is like, it's like the mecca for the cask pale ale. So I just grew up around it, and it's just what you do. You go to the pub, it's how you socialise. So just drinking.
Yeah, now, British pubs.
Yeah.
Well, we had a fantastic guest recently who was Irish, and she talked about the community around pubs and what a strong community is in Ireland. And so, you know, it does make perfect sense. But you didn't start out in beer making, obviously. Your background is in chemical engineering, I believe.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it is. But the two actually have, they have quite close links to each other. So you can easily go and do a PhD or what have you in brewing and distilling. And it's a sector of chemical engineering. I like to call it giant chemistry, which is what we do in beer.
God, wouldn't that have been fun at high school?
Brewing beer?
Well, no, just doing, you know, just sitting there and doing chemistry and science and thinking, you know, if I had have known that, then I might have got that
paid
science
attention.
Degree. You know, I might have thought, oh, I'm going to be making beer one day. I'm just actually going to pay attention. Yeah. Instead,
yeah,
I was
enough.
Too busy doing home economics and sewing.
To get that ABBA outfit of your dreams.
I did. How long
you? You guys are killing me.
So, went to university, clearly, did your studies, and thought, this is not good enough. The world of beer is just drawing you in. So how did this all happen? What was the connective tissue between university and a brewery?
So I was kind of homebrewing on the side and doing a chemical engineering degree, and the two just didn't really meet until years and years later. So it was the height of the recession. No one could get any jobs in London. I was working in a horrible job. I was buying and selling chemicals, just it's as dry as it sounds. And I just quit my job with no plan.
In a commercial industrial sense,
and sort of
supplying manufacturers.
With specifically for the paint industry.
Right,
so extra exciting.
Wow,
was it like an episode of The Office?
Yeah.
Did you have a clipboard?
A bit drier than The Office. But it was really, really boring. So I quit with no plan or anything. And then I got a job in a pub and we just kind of decided to start the brewery. We'd been homebrewing for years and we're like, you know what, let's just do it for a living. There's no one else is going to give us a job. So let's see if we can make it work. So that's really how it started.
You know, when do you actually acquire a taste for beer? You know, I can remember being a kid and my dad would give me a beer and I'd go, that is the most revolting thing I've ever tasted in my life. Then I got to about 16 and 17 and something changed in my taste buds and I think, oh, I could kind of handle this. And then I spent the next 25 years sculling, basically. So and did you always have a taste for beer or has it become an acquired taste for you also?
For me, it was probably when I was about It just starts socially, doesn't it?
Yes,
it starts socially, yeah. And you tend to start quite
with your mates.
You start with your mates. You probably start with like some tins of lager, and then
you
kind of
from dad. Pretty much, yeah. Whoever was
not saying anything
in the fridge, yeah.
And then it just kind of builds from there, really. You start light and then you try something else. And then once you kind of go craft, it's quite difficult to go back.
Define that difference. How would you, in 15 words or less, define the difference between...
Craft is probably one of the most difficult things to define. I don't think anyone has successfully done it yet. But I would say personally, it is it's independently made. I'd probably even put made by hand and small production. That's what I would define it as.
Right.
But people could write essays on the definition of
craft. It is certainly quite a controversial subject. Mm-hmm. Recently, we had, in actual fact, our treasurer, our national treasurer, actually cut back the tax on craft beer because craft beer companies were being taxed at a very unhealthy rate. And that was actually last weekend, I think, as part of the budget.
Mm. Well, that'll please all the beer drinkers. How many craft brewery beers are there in the UK, for example?
Ooh, in the UK, many thousands. But I can just talk about London specifically, just how big the boom has happened. So about 10 years ago, there was maybe 5 breweries in London. Now there's 112.
Wow.
So the growth has been astronomical.
And is it because everyone's watching Portlandia? Because this craft brewery thing, it's a trend that's come out of the American Northern Pacific region, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's been around the world, but they've really...
Yeah, they really have helped it to boom. But in the UK specifically, one of the reasons why it's grown so quickly is because the government gave us something called the Small Brewers Relief. So if you're under a certain size, you get 50% off tax.
That's huge.
Huge, huge, huge. So all of a sudden...
But the Tories did that.
I think it was 2005, I think it was.
So it was a little while ago, yeah.
It just started the boom. Just started the boom. Because all of a sudden you're like, maybe we can compete.
Yeah, right.
So I think that for all of our listeners that are interested in craft beer and want to find out some more or talk to Jager and ask us some questions, can everyone please get in touch with us? 0427-JOY949. Phone the front desk 1300 JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. We have had one person who has sent us a lovely message. They're not asking about beer, but they are saying that we are fabulous. Well, we're part of the fabulous Joy team.
Thank you, Lee and Amelia.
Yeah, not sure what has happened to the Joy, but the presenters have been great, loving every minute of it. Thanks for listening, guys. Now, back to Jager.
But no pressure. So you go into a brewing, and then all of a sudden you must have got some traction. The rubber must have hit the road.
Yeah.
So when did that turn happen from being a bit of a hobby brewer at home to this is a real thing and I'm going to go international?
I'm not sure if it's happened yet.
Well, you are international. You're here now. You're on Melbourne Radio. So, you have.
Yes. So it started slowly, brick by brick. Things just got better and better every day, and there really is no eureka moment where you go from next week we've got this new product, we're going to sell so much a week. It just doesn't happen like that. You end up selling 5 cases 1 week, then the next week you might sell 10, and it's very, very slow.
Organic.
Slow, painful growth.
But you're here now.
Yeah, I'm living it.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, after the break, we're going to actually talk to Jager about what she's got planned while she's in Melbourne for Good Beer Week and some of the things that she's going to be talking about.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.org.au.
I've read this really fun and interesting fact that you might be able to help me out with. It is believed that the first professional brewers were women. Now, how do you feel about that?
That is 100% true, 100% true. So, Yeah. Called the Ale Wives. So it used to be a thing, we're talking about hundreds of years ago, where when women got married, it was even part of their dowry and brewing equipment. So they used to brew beer in the community for their families and what have you. And then it obviously it became commercial and then meant to give.
Well, of course, you know, in a lot of communities, drinking beer was safer than drinking water.
Yes, exactly.
And in the UK, all of the big homes and the homesteads had their own beers that they would brew, and children were often given beer for breakfast because it had a lot of vitamins and B. And vitamin B and yeast and those sorts of things. So, you know.
And who doesn't want to go to school half cut? Let's face it.
I think it'd make it so much more fun.
Your A, Bs and Zs because you're falling asleep.
But obviously the industry has changed quite a lot since then. And, Jagger, you're involved in moving it from the masculine, male-driven industry that it is into a whole new direction, because we do see more women brewers in Australia, and I'm sure this is happening in the UK. Can you tell us about your work in that area, because you're quite an advocate?
Yeah, it's interesting. So what's really happening in the UK is we do have quite a big split between the sheer number of female beer drinkers comparatively to male drinkers. I'm really looking at why is that? Why is that the case? And in the UK in general, craft beer sales are massively booming, just like all around the world. But beer sales in general across the board is actually declining. Mm. So younger people are drinking less beer. Mm. A lot of that is probably because it's quite expensive, people have less money, etc., etc. We're really trying to look at why is that the case. And in the UK, we have a big problem, and in the US, with regards to like labelling. So people just saying downright horrible things on a label, so patronising and featuring
like
half-naked women.
Wife beater kind of things. Oh. So there's really sort of aggressive gendered tonality, even to nicknames of beers. Yeah. Or you're talking more about sexism in branding.
So just really gendered, and especially derogatory towards women. So there's all sorts of stuff like Dizzy Blonde, which will have a picture of like a half
Paris Hilton.
We'll have a picture of a half-naked woman on it. But it's a real issue. And when you're trying to, in a declining kind of overall beer sales market, why on earth would you try and insult the very market who you can potentially massively grow with? Mm. So we are attempting in the UK to try and sort that out. And I'm a big believer in the industry. I think will change naturally by itself over the next 10, 15 years. But why should we have to wait? Why should we have to put up with it in the meantime?
And why do you think women don't drink as much beer as men? Is that just, you know, their tastes are different and they prefer, you know, a fine glass of white wine or something? Or it's just that it's been marketed the wrong way from year dot?
So in the UK... So there is a massive history with women not drinking in pubs, for example. In the 70s, it was the men go into the bar and the women go into the lounge. The women and the kids go into the lounge. So there was a physical separation.
Yeah.
And it's an issue in the UK that you really don't see across the rest of Europe. Mm. So in Italy, for example, women drink more beer than men, for example. In Spain, it's like 45% of drinkers. Just in the UK, it's quite low. The recent statistics that less than like 18% of UK drinkers are women. So potentially, it's a huge market for us, and we just need to really be getting it right and taking the gender out of beer.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
Is it right as well? It's expected for women to drink halves in pubs, whilst men can drink a full pint.
Yeah, there's a massive misconception about women can't handle a pint. Our dainty fingers can't handle it for some reason, and it is a big issue.
It just slips right out of the delicate hand.
I can drink a pint just as well as any man, but people have this massive misconception, and there's also big talk about things like calories in beer. The amount of times I'm asked about calories in beer, and you're like, I don't want to talk about calories in beer, and it's a lie that your beer has more calories than
a loaf of bread.
Yeah, it's just
you won't get any questions about calories on the show.
No, we don't.
No way.
There's all shapes and sizes on the show. But what do you want to talk about then?
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to come up with a code of practice for the UK beer industry. So I'm one of the directors of the Society of Independent Brewers, which is our trade organisation, and we're trying to come up with just some guidance that the UK brewers can voluntarily sign up to and say we agree that we're going to try and not be horrible.
That's nice though. Yeah,
because a part of discourse at the moment is about fragility in heterosexual males, and because they've never been called to question, like so many other parts of the community have been called to question, when you sort of breach that or you try and deal with anything that is questioning masculinity, you find out how delicate, precious and fragile it really is, because it shatters at the mere questioning of it and saying, well, men can cry, boys should cry, why can't women do things? And as you start to try and question it, it becomes sometimes very reactive to the point of violence. Are you finding, I'm not saying that this is your sector, this is sort of a more of a generalist conversation and not a UK or Australia thing, this is masculinity across the world. Are you finding that men are receptive in the brewing business or the market in which you trade, or are you finding there a pockets of resistance? Is there anything that's indicative, or are things moving really quite quickly? How do you find that?
It was a really good question. Within the craft beer bubble, things seem to be quite rosy and quite supportive. But one of the things I've been working on in particular, it's not the craft beer bubble that really needs addressing or talking to, especially with regards to gender. Collectively, it's more important that we talk to everyone. It's not just craft beer, and there has been a certain amount of backlash, especially when stuff goes in the press, like nationally, and things go in the Daily Mail and what have you.
But that's more of a reactive kind of media. How do you find the sort of the mid market instead of the Daily Mail, and because they peddle in that. That's what they're. Yeah. That's how they get their clicks. That's how they sell their advertising. Is they make people all stroppy and you know.
Yeah, I mean
disgruntles of Worcestershire.
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle if you try and say, please don't do something. So a lot of people will automatically try and just say, like, well, I want to do it just because you've told them not to.
Fair enough.
We have a long, long way to go. And I'm currently in the middle of going around the country and trying to get brewers to kind of sign up and talk about it and debate about it. And I'm not doing it alone. I'm certainly going to be hopefully taking the brewing industry kind of with us, so they will give all their feedback and say, I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about this, and let's try and do this together.
That's fantastic. Before we go to a break, I've got another fun beer fact for everybody.
Yes, now, Ross.
Did you know...
I'm poised instead of cat-like readiness.
Well, this is a fun beer travel fact in a way, I guess. In ancient Egypt, they used to pay their workers with beer.
Did they?
They did. They. Mm. So in fact, the Great Pyramids were built on beer, because they paid their workers three times a day on beer. So you would get out there and the thousands and thousands of slaves were paid by having a drink of beer, and that was how they were paid. Now, for me personally, that just sounds like, you know, the ultimate job. Do you agree?
I think that sounds like a bit low on nourishment. I mean, I know that beer is pretty good, but I know there's lots of good things in beer.
But could you believe that they built the pyramids on beer? Isn't that wonderful?
That is.
They did a good job.
It works.
They're still standing.
I think that's a great name for a craft beer myself.
The Egyptian
pyramids.
Pyramid
beer. I bet there is one.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We're talking all things brewery, and isn't it Good Beer Week or something here in Melbourne?
Yes, it sure is.
And that's why Jager's flown all the way on the kangaroo route to Australia. So what is your participation at Good Beer Week? What, is it Good Beer Week? Have I got that wrong?
Yeah, Good Beer Week. Yeah.
I just everyone frowning at me.
So it kicked off yesterday. Yep. And it's going to be an intense week of, I think it's like 280 or so events all across
It is the biggest craft beer festival in Australia, as a matter
of fact. Is it? Yeah. Wow.
It is absolutely huge.
So you know she's a judge at the Good Beer Week, and yesterday she had to drink 60 beers in one day. Judging. Now, I'm sorry, but if I...
You must have had a spittoon.
No, in beer, you never spit. Never spit.
Oh, really?
Never,
okay.
never.
You didn't know that, did
sacrilege.
You?
A lot of people at this station use that motto.
That's funny. I've seen Mark spit out his beer at the Peel on several occasions, but obviously that was you weren't doing Good Beer Week, were you?
No.
Okay. Anyway, it's Good Beer Week. You had 60 beers yesterday and you were judging. Is there a real excitement around all of that with the craft beers here in Australia?
Massive excitement. So it's the Australia International Beer Awards. So it really brings together just the best beers in Australia to try and find the best of every single style. So I think it was over 2,500 beers that had to be tried by the group of judges. So it averaged out 65 beers a day for 3 days.
That
pretty,
is
pretty
incredible.
So how do you keep your palate fresh through that?
Yeah.
Chips? Chips and salsa?
Honestly, we're loads gone. Of crackers.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
Loads of crackers, loads of cheese, and just like really regular breaks. So yeah, I experienced morning tea for the first time.
Oh, morning
I hadn't,
tea, yes.
That was quite... we just don't have that in the UK.
Really?
So,
morning
like
tea?
Food at... In between morning and in between lunch. Yeah. You probably call it brunch.
Yes,
is the closest thing we have.
Elevenses. You'd call it elevenses.
Yeah, not a thing in the UK.
No.
So yeah, I loved it. So it was like every couple of hours, it was like food.
It's an extra meal.
More food.
Well, you have to know that in Melbourne, we are slightly obsessed with food, and brunch is like the most important meal of the day. And so it is a thing. And I'd love to find out if you had noticed any particular kind of on-trend beer, you know, style at the moment.
At the moment, it is all about a style called NEIPA, which is a New England IPA. Mm-hmm. So a New England IPA has got to be so cloudy, it's almost yogurt-like in appearance. It has got to be ridiculously hoppy, but not so bitter. So really heavy citrus notes, really heavy tropical fruits in there. So it's meant to be like a juice bomb. The perfect word to describe it would be juicy.
Wow.
Because there is a lot of fruit going into craft beer. I had a strawberry and cream craft beer recently.
Strawberry and cream.
Yep.
Why and doesn't that surprise us?
It had a beautiful mouth texture, which was...
Yeah. Was it literally creamy?
Creamy.
Wow.
And it was extraordinary. So there's a lot of fruit happening in beer. I don't know whether that's the influence of, you know, just like broadening and trying to find the newest thing or, I mean, how would you interpret...
It's one of the most exciting things about just the craft sector around the world is people are doing anything. Like anything you could imagine... They are doing. And even in Melbourne, you've got the Gabs Festival happening, which is where all the breweries just make the most insane beers.
Wow.
So there's a snail goes happening by one of the breweries. Yeah, that's literal snails going into a beer.
Oh, really?
So it's just, it's exciting. It's innovative. It's, yeah, it's just a really exciting sector to work in.
Many years ago, I went to an event for Melbourne Food and Wine Festival where they did the history of Melbourne in cocktails. And the first cocktail they made was a beer drink where it was filtered over buttered toast. And apparently that was really a beer, and that was quite fun. But also, you're working on a collaboration with the Pink Boots ladies. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so I am going to be working with a really cool brewery called Two Birds Us. I'm here. So I'm going to be making a double IPA on Wednesday, which is a beer that is incredibly hoppy, tends to push 8%. It's meant to be rich.
Wine.
Yeah, it's rich, it's creamy, it's going to be a hell of a beer.
Jager, I love chocolate and mandarins and what else do I like? Yeah, could you?
I know pickles and ice cream. Exactly, you're in your third trimester, Russ.
Oh, yeah, I feel it today. Would you be able to? Could you make me a beer if I gave you a few things that I liked and you pop it into a recipe and away we go?
Yeah, sure. So chocolate is a really interesting one. So we don't really need to use cocoa nibs in order for us to create like chocolate notes. The more you roast a malt, you get all sorts of different flavours out of a malt. And there's one literally called chocolate barley, which will give you those really lovely notes. With regards to orange, I've had some really amazing chocolate orange beers like over the years. So it's definitely a star you should hunt down if you are if you're into that.
Russ, you're a genius. Oh. And a gourmand.
I can't wait. I'll be heading out. I can't get this whole thing of 65 beers in one day out of my head. I'm obsessed by it. How do you become a judge at good beer?
Take small sips.
Yes. So, Jager, this is your first time to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you got planned for the rest of your time here? I mean, you're here until the 23rd. You've got a lot of activities with Good Beer Week. Are you going to be heading out of Melbourne during this time?
So I am going to Sydney for a few days.
Nice.
So on the Sunday, not this Sunday after, I'm flying out there for a few days. So I'm going to just see what Sydney's saying.
Mm. It's that'd be fun. Delightful.
Yeah, Sydney's a great place. That is exciting, yes.
I mentioned to Jager, of course, the weather, and she said she's counting the number of people in Melbourne that mention the weather. Because, you know, we're obsessed with weather here, aren't we?
On your 16-degree day, Fiona.
That's number nine.
Now, I have we've got a couple of other questions. We've got a classic question we ask all of our guests.
Oh, but yes.
What are your other favourite beer-loving nations that you've travelled to and you really enjoy?
Ooh, beer-loving nations. Has to be the US. The US, of course. Yeah. The East Coast of America, beer is just absolutely incredible.
See, Yuengling is one of my favourite beers. Yuengling is... have you tried the Yuengling?
No, I haven't. I went and visited...
Rolling Rock?
I went to visit Brooklyn specifically.
Oh, okay. So we're talking about IPAs.
Just absolutely crazy. The other one, of course, is Munich. You can't really talk about beer without talking about Germany. Mm. Really.
Have you been to the Oktoberfest?
I've not been to the Oktoberfest, but I went out to Munich last year with the wine show, and we were doing a beer versus wine in the episode, and Munich actually has a really interesting wine history that no one ever hears about. It's all beer. So we went out and just had an amazing time.
But the white wines in Bavaria are very good. Zinfandel, and there are lots of it's quite sweet.
Yeah.
Rhine kind of style wines. Not a lot of dry whites, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But the famous thing that came out of Germany from 1516 was the Reinheitsgebot, which is the law in Germany that a German beer can only have four ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So all German beers that follow the Reinheitsgebot for the last 502 years have contained only four ingredients. It started off with three because they didn't know what yeast was.
Yeah,
but now we know what yeast has to be a part of it.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We're here with our gorgeous, gorgeous guest today, Jager Wise, and she's a craft brewer, and my God, does she know how to craft a beer? It's just been insane, the things we've found out.
I am definitely thinking about beer at this point. Want to go out of the studio and have a refreshing
brew.
I'll
have 63 with you this afternoon, Fiona.
Now, listen. Russ is a teetotaler, by the way.
Yes, right. I don't drink. Now, Fiona, you've got that huge travel question we have to ask every guest every week, which is very important.
It's a very important question, and it's going to go into a national survey. So, Jager, do you fold or do you roll?
Roll what?
Your clothes, not your toilet paper.
When you travel.
Oh, oh. Do I fold or do I roll? I fold, actually.
Oh,
I fold,
controversial.
And I fold barely, if I'm honest. I'm more of a throw-in.
Do you have a suitcase or a tote?
I have got a suitcase.
Wheels.
With wheels on
you. Very good. Okay, so you're a folder. Okay, yeah, you're a bit glamorous. You'd be a folder. I can understand that, yes. So where should people go for Good Beer Week? Where would you recommend our local Melburnians head this weekend?
I recommend you head down to the Catfish. So from tonight, there is going to be a tap takeover from 12 of London's finest breweries.
Including yours.
Including mine. there's lots of brewers from London in town at the minute. So, and I'm sure you'll be able to find them all there.
So where's the Catfish? Which part of town? Not sure.
But
what you want to do is you want to go down to the Catfish this evening because it's Jager's birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, Jager.
She's only 21, and so she'll be heading down there for a fabulous night at
21:09.
And if you like a beer, where do we need to go, Fiona?
Oh, the Catfish. Of course, it's in Fitzroy.
Yeah.
Just Google the Catfish and you'll find it. It's in Fitzroy. Everyone get on down.
Jager, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a good time where you're in Melbourne. I hope you get spoilt rotten for your birthday and you don't have to work too hard tonight. Will you be pulling beers or will you be talking about the beers?
I'm just going to turn up and have a good time.
That's all right. I hope you do on your birthday. Fiona, who have we got on the Escape Hour next week, please?
Well, it's a secret.
There you go. That's always a good way to be on the Escape Hour.
Kinder surprise.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you for listening into our craft beer show today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do watch Eurovision tomorrow night and we'll see you next week.
See you
Bye.
Next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.